Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 65. I am Table for Two, and I'm joined by Mellified and Alien Pickle. What's up, guys?
Hey, this is Mellified. I am doing great, trying to stay cool in Texas. We're on, I think, week 5 of 100-degree-plus temperatures, and that is really warm. My goodness.
Yeah, no doubt. How's it in the Carolinas there, Jim?
Not so bad.
Yeah, we had here in Ohio, we had like 3 or 4 days of like a heat warning, like heat advisory or whatever it is. It got pretty bad. And then like today and tomorrow, it's supposed to like just drop down to like low humidity, cool 70s, nice breezes. And then it's going to get right back to being hot on Monday. So makes for a nice weekend, a little Father's Day weekend for you fathers out there. So there you go. We're gonna do something interesting. We're gonna split some things up. There's so much news, so many news game releases that usually we do, you know, our topic show and then our news show and whatnot. And this week we're gonna blast this out and cover everything in two episodes here. There's just so much to go over. So sorry, we'll have to leave you guys hanging in the middle of it all. But there's a lot to talk about. A lot of game releases. A lot of game updates, a lot of interesting things going on. I'm really excited about. So, yeah, starting off right off the bat, I'm going to get this one out of the way because I was talking about it before the show, but they've released on PC and Xbox and I think maybe somewhere else, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge is on Steam and Game Pass. I've currently installed it on Game Pass, and I gotta say, it's like playing Turtles in Time, but like modern, and I absolutely love it. It is so much fun, and it's a nice like blast from the past kind of feel to it. You know, it's a retro style with like a modern in front of the modern age of a Turtles game. I highly recommend if you have not played it to go give that a shot, especially if you have Game Pass. Have you guys played it yet, Malphite or Jim?
I haven't. I downloaded it, but I haven't had a chance to try it, so I'm looking forward to it. I've heard good things.
Yeah, we should play it together. Yeah, I think it'd be a good time.
I played the first level, basically, and was like, yeah, it works, cool.
Yeah, I with friends, it sounds like it'll probably be a better time, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never really dug the side-scrolling beaters as a single-player thing. It just doesn't quite jive for me.
Yeah, as like as a solo playthrough, I've also not been as into them, but with friends it ends up being way more fun.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that that you can play as Splinter in it too.
Yeah, Splinter and April O'Neil, which is pretty cool. So I was surprised as well. All right, cool. Well, what else do we got going on here?
Well, did you want to talk about your new Steam Deck? I mean, that's been probably the most exciting news for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in terms of, like, new and gaming things and being able to play games and whatnot, I finally got my Steam Deck. And I've got to say, like, I know Mellified's had his for a couple months now. I've been following the Steam Deck subreddit and watching all the crazy things that people have been doing with their decks. Got to be very careful how you say that.
You guys got your decks out.
decks out. But I love this thing. And as we were talking before the show, it is very well balanced. So it feels very like good. Like it's got a good weight to it. It doesn't feel overly heavy. Like I feel like my hands are going to get strained, or it's going to get too heavy after long playthroughs. It's got this even weight dispersion that just feels great about it. And so that was the first thing that I noticed, that as soon as I picked it up, it felt lighter than it was supposed to be because of that.
Objectively it is heavy. When you look at the stats, I think it's, you know, a couple pounds or something, but it doesn't feel as heavy as it sounds.
Right, it's kind of deceptive, right, in that regard, and in a good way, deceptive in a good way. Like, and the way it feels, like, I'm not usually fond of like inline analog sticks, like a PlayStation controller, But this feels natural. The way the grip feels, you've got like four extra paddle buttons on the bottom and the back there for more functionality. You've got the two little touch pads on either side, and the screen's a touch screen as well. And the menu navigation and the SteamOS and through the deck in general is very fluid. They made Steam feel like a real console here. You know, I know that like Valve has had their previous entries with like Steam Machines and Steam Link and that kind of thing. I think this is like they've really hit something solid here. And I feel like in the future, and I've already seen it, if you've not seen Craft Computing, there's a YouTube channel called Craft Computing. This guy did a PC build where he loaded the Steam Deck OS as the primary operating system. And I feel that the community is going to probably go pretty far with that because Valve has made huge...
What, he just threw it on a PC as the OS?
There's a little workaround that you have to do because it's not designed for normal PC hardware. But because of the chip architecture on the deck is a little different. And so it's basically Linux. So you just have to do a few tweaks, and there's a GitHub out there that you can go to get all this stuff and make it work. But he was using it and navigating it just fine functionally from like an operating system standpoint. And then, you know, you can load up the deck OS basically with a controller, like if you have like an Xbox controller, and just, you know, plow through it like it is a console. And I feel that because I'm able to take my PC gaming experience with me on the go, I can whip this thing out and play Doom Eternal wherever I want to, or Skyrim wherever I want to, with really good graphics and with really good fluid gameplay. And I was playing X4 Foundation on it last night for a little bit, which I was surprised at how well it worked with that. And
so you're gonna whip it out in the theater when you find out Jurassic Park sucks.
No, I'm probably not gonna take it with me on stuff like that, but it is the case is really slick. The way the charger pouch, they have like a little charger pouch, and like where they store that on the thing is pretty cool. There's just a number of things about it, about how they've done this. I feel like all of the quote-unquote failures that Valve has had over time with their Steam controller, with the Steam Link or Steam Machines and all those other things, where you could almost look at those as failures, I feel like that was Valve taking notes. You know, so, you know, instead of viewing those failures as failures, it's just like, okay, here's how we improve upon this. Here's how we make this better. And they've just been taking their slow time, like, marinating this, and I feel like they've come out with a product that is shockingly solid. And I'm just going to go out and say it. Like, this, I don't think this is going to take away from PC gaming. I think that this is going to increase the market for PC gaming. I think we're going to see more people doing PC gaming. And because of this thing. So people are going to have this thing. It's going to, like, increase Valve's position where it's already dominating. But I feel like more people are going to try and put their games on the platform in order to support the Steam Deck. You know, I really feel that way based on what I'm seeing already, based upon how much Valve has gone out and put out the CAD files, put out the iFixit stuff, put out like all of these things to help support this hardware for like the people to get their hands on it and basically do whatever they want to with this thing. I really think it's going to increase the PC market. And as we'll talk about in the news segments, there's a bunch of stuff that's coming to PC that, it, you know, we even talked about it previously, like with Spider-Man. I mean, we've got, what was it? They even announced that The Last of Us is slated to start coming to the PC. And I was shocked to hear that. So, I think we're in the best time right now for PC, that the Steam Deck is one of the best PCs I've gotten my hands on. You know, I've never bought, I've ever since I was like 16 years old in high school, I've always built my home computers. I've never bought like a store-bought computer or a laptop. I've always had laptops given to me through work or like through friends, or, you know, my dad bought me one for college. Like that, but I've never really like desired a laptop for gaming per se, right? I've always built a computer. This thing, though, changes so much. It's a game changer. It really is a game changer, no pun intended. So those are my thoughts about it, just having had it for maybe the last 24 hours as of making this recording. So we have a whole dedicated thread in our Discord about the Steam Deck where we talk about these things. So if you want to talk more about the Steam Deck with us, feel free to come over to discord.otherworlds.gg and chat with us about it. We're having a really good time over here. I'm looking forward to doing more with it. As a matter of fact, I'm actually looking forward to playing games on it with Mellified. I'd really like to try and see about playing games online with friends with it. So,
yeah, I'm down for that. I think the only quibble I have with everything you just said is that the reality is that there is still a PC under the covers and a Linux PC at that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for some people, that will be a huge issue, a huge barrier for them to enjoy and sort of
like successful. Require technical skill.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe. I mean, you're certainly not wrong that that's what's happening under the hood. But if you have someone who's maybe not a PC gaming evangelist, if I may borrow a term there, like, sure. You know, if it's like maybe your kids or maybe like some friends that you know that are more casual gamers but are like looking for maybe like a casual PC gaming experience and you recommend this device to them, I mean, out of the box, I haven't even touched the Linux side yet. Like, I haven't even gone to the OS side. I've just been straight dealing with out of the box, like logged in, downloaded games, and started playing. I'm trying to take that experience first before I start going into like the crazy, the modding and the configuration and how do I get emulators working and how do I dual boot it into Windows and how do I get xCloud to work? I'm purely coming at this right out of the gate from like, I just opened up the box and I'm going to enjoy the experience of like what was given to me first just to get the feel of it. So I feel like there might be a group of people where that's the key where it's just like, I, even though X4 isn't natively supported on the deck yet, it's got like the yellow badge. I have installed a few games that have like no testing or whatever that don't have any support, quote unquote support for it. And they've just worked right out of the gate. I didn't have to tweak anything. I didn't have to adjust anything. And so that my initial experience so far with this thing has been like, wow, PC gaming, who knew it could be this easy?
Does it let you know if it's using, it's not Photon, it's, I forget what the heck they call it, their emulation thing.
Well, it's always using that, almost, right?
Yeah, very Linux, few things
are Linux native.
Yeah, so okay, I mean, I've got...
I thought there's a lot of Steam games that are just Linux native, so...
So
they would just install that if they had it.
So far, here's what I've used on it, though. Like, I've used Doom Eternal, which has, like, the Vulkan API stuff, right? Horizon Zero Dawn, Skyrim, a bunch of, like easy pixel art kind of games like Final Fantasy. I've done X4 on there, which that certainly is not Linux native, if I remember correctly. And so... The experience with a variety of games, I've got Cloudpunk on there. I'm going to be trying out 3030 Death War, which, shockingly, 3030 Death War hasn't even been tested, according to Valve, for the deck yet. So, or like verified or whatever. So, I know that 3030 Death War has controller support, so I'm going to give that a go here pretty soon and find out. But most of these things, I think most of the ones I've listed off don't even have like native Linux support. So in the experience with these things, like before the show, I was playing Horizon Zero Dawn, you know, and having a blast.
Croton does a surprisingly good job with most things, and certainly all of the ones that I've tried that are certified, that are the green status, work great. And the ones that are yellow, you know, have some nitpicks, but generally they run okay if you get into them. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. You know,
I mean, it's not perfect. I'll give you that. It's not perfect, but I'm just saying, as someone who has been more cynical in their older age towards these things,
it's acceptably imperfect.
It's yes, very much so, and I guess I'm surprised at just how easy it is. Like I haven't had to tweak anything yet. Now, again, this is my first 24 hours experience with it, but I know that over the last couple of months, Valve has been pouring lots of effort into updates and improvements, and they're continuing to do so.
Well, one of the things that they've been doing that's really interesting is pre-certifying games. So Final Fantasy VII Remake just came out on Steam yesterday, which is actually one of our stories here. For the news, but it came out on Steam and it was already tested and certified for the Steam Deck. So day one, you could play it on the Steam Deck.
Did you play the game that Valve made specifically for the Deck, that Aperture Lab?
Aperture Desk Job. I have not.
you need to play it. Essentially, you are a toilet tester. Jim, this is all for you. You know, you're just a grunt working like a conveyor belt testing toilets flush properly.
So you're saying that Valve so loved the idea of Toilet Flushing Simulator, available now on Steam for 99 cents, that they actually made a first-party Toilet Flushing Simulator?
In a sense. But it's like the toilets that eventually you and the robot turn the toilets into those automated turrets that you find in Portal. And so like the toilet,
so they're turlets.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, I mean, I could probably go on for like a while talking about all the different things.
It's like the butter robot from Rick and Morty. What is my purpose?
Yes.
You're a toilet. Oh my god.
Oh boy. Yeah, I also happen to have picked up an OLED Switch recently. And it's interesting to go from that back to the Steam Deck. Because they're so similar but so different. Where the Deck is a little bit bigger, it's molded to your hands. It's got nice grips and back buttons and all these things. The OLED Switch is pretty much just a screen and then those two little clip-on controllers. And you know, it feels light, which is a plus, but you know, the bigger screen on the Steam Deck, the better graphics definitely show the advantage that Valve has with their device, I think, compared to the Switch.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing about when you talk about like consoles and like the market and, you know, gaming and stuff like that. I get really curious about like what is Nintendo going to do moving forward, you know? I get really curious about that.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, to some extent Nintendo doesn't try to compete on performance and power. They compete by having great first party games, and that has been extraordinarily successful for them with the Switch. So I know they've said they expect to have another 5 years out of the Switch.
It's interesting. Well, let's get back to some of this news. We've had, like I said, a lot of game releases and stuff. And
yeah, well, we had the Microsoft Bethesda big announcements. We had a PC gaming, PC Gamer did a PC gaming show. Capcom did some announcements. And there was somebody else. Oh, Devolver Digital did one a couple weeks ago. So there's just been a ton of announcements about new games coming. And the first one here is one that I had to make sure I put in for Ilian Pickle, because he is our resident kaiju fan. And a new game called Gigabash launches in August this year. And it is described as a kaiju brawling game. So you basically get a big kaiju and you get to beat another kaiju up in the in the city, and there's like grabs and blocks and timing attacks and things like that. So
I want this looks good.
Yeah, the graphics are pretty nice. The description of the gameplay at least sounds interesting, and it does have at least local multiplayer with mini games and stuff, but hopefully we'll be able to use the Steam remote play to play it together online. So
well, another game that was announced that I don't remember hearing about, but I'm hearing about it now, is a co-op survival crafting game, The Lord of the Rings Return to Moria. I surprised I'm just now hearing about this, but there's a trailer for it.
Is it like Hobbit Exiles?
Well, it's your dwarves, so it's like Return to Moria.
Yeah, but it's Conan.
I guess you could call it Lord of the Rings Exiles, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, that certainly looks interesting. It's interesting to set a survival crafting game in the Lord of the Rings setting.
One arc to bind them.
But yeah, that's pretty slick. I'm actually kind of intrigued by that. Well, we also finally got some more information on Overwatch 2. Overwatch 2 free-to-play launches in October. The Overwatch 2 free-to-play is specifically the multiplayer stuff, so I believe if you've already got Overwatch 1, you're golden here.
If you pay $40 for the Overwatch 2 Watch Pack or something, I forget the name of it exactly, it's Watchtower, you get into the Overwatch 2 beta in July. Guaranteed. So basically, it looks like some skins and some loot crates for Overwatch is what you're buying, but it does get you that guaranteed beta access. So if you don't want to wait till October.
Yeah, cool scam.
Titanfall.
They're going to be microtransactions.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I know that there's been, like, Blizzard's been facing some huge backlash because of Diablo Immortal. And
a certain amount.
Not that I'm forgiving the game, but I feel like we would not be hearing as much backlash if this thing never came to PC.
Well, I agree, because if it was phone, then people would say, well, of course, because it's a phone game.
Right, but now that it's on PC, I think it's getting, right and rightfully so, attention in the wrong way. I think this is shedding a light on why mobile games are terrible and why that that practice is not good. The microtransaction craziness. And it's interesting when you look at some of the stuff with Diablo Immortal, it's like negative returns the more you'd buy. It's really weird when you look at the numbers.
We have a bunch of stories about the Diablo backlash a little bit later, but since we're talking about it now, I'm trying to find the discussion. So yeah, the top of our Xbox PC section, Diablo Immortal has the dubious honor of being Blizzard's lowest rated game ever. Certainly the backlash, as we were talking about. And then interestingly, Blizzard has promised that Diablo 4 will not be monetized like Diablo Immortal. So apparently they,
understand
the backlash.
And the interesting thing about the way Diablo 4 is going to work is Diablo 4 is going to almost kind of be like a Fallout 76. And the reason why
it looks very MMO.
Because like there's going to be world bosses that you can like run across. It's going to be this big open world Diablo game, where you can like team up with other players and go take on like world bosses or like, in-game events that happen like dailies and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach that. Yeah, for sure.
Well, just as long as they don't do gross shit like loot boxes that you have to open in the middle of the town square.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
I can think of some ways that they could really seal the deal. You guys got credit cards, right?
Yeah, that should have been the thing that they said. Here's another interesting game that looks really interesting. It's a game called Outpost, and it's being described as Titanfall meets Starship Troopers. It's a first-person shooter. So Outpost is like a first-person shooter that's got like an RTS kind of thing going on where you can build a base and you can survive wave after wave of different things coming at you. It looks pretty slick though, because it goes into like this RTS looking mode to like help you build your base, but then you can go back into first person to actually, you know, do the waves as they come across, and it looks pretty cool. So go check out Outpost. It's gonna be on Steam.
Yeah, any idea when?
No. Planned release date to be announced. Working title. It's also Outpost is a working title apparently, but it's a they call it a first person shooter. Collect resources, build and raise outposts in various characters. Use them to tackle more difficult maps. There was
Doom with crafting.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
There's an interesting thing about this, because there was an old like Greenlight game back on Steam back in the day that felt very much like this, but like. Not this pretty. This game looks pretty nice. I'll give it that. This is a very good looking game. So there's
what game is it that's got the Rick and Morty guys?
Oh,
like with the guns that talk to you.
Yeah.
That's the game I'm horny for. Is that?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what the name of that one is. I think we'll probably
We'll come across it
in this list, but
okay, I was just making sure it wasn't this. So
No, that's not it. The game you're thinking of, Jim, is High on Life. It's an Xbox FPS. People are calling it secretly a Rick and Morty game, but it's definitely by people.
Squanch.
Yeah. So it's definitely a weird, wacky kind of game, almost like you're quite literally high, but it's funny because it's like aliens sell humans as like narcotics or something. Excellent. Like that. You know, it's just
did you notice the one gun has like spikes on it? It's like those pink crystals from Halo.
Oh, the needler?
Yeah. Well, there's a funny billboard in the trailer for High on Life that says the all new Hyper Pong, the intense high of humanity can now be felt by everyone.
Oh my.
But it's like this giant bong looking thing with like it's like a hookah with like mini like smoke pipes on it essentially.
Nice.
But it's got like it's like plugged into the alien's head and he's like getting high off of it. Oh god, it's so funny.
Yeah. Halo bongs evolved.
Yeah, the hyper bong. Yeah, now everyone can get high on humanity. Oh my god. Yeah, the High on Life game looks pretty interesting. It's a little weird. It's a little out there, but yeah, there you go.
The weirder, the better, man.
And they did Counting Plus, right? The same. Is that not the same developer?
Counting Plus. That sounds familiar.
That was their VR game, I thought.
Was that also in kind of like a Rick and Morty style looking thing, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm thinking of the right game, I might not be.
Yeah, I feel like they did.
Well, they did. Yeah, they did. It was Accounting Plus, Dr. Splorchy's Space Heroes, and Trover Saves the Universe. And Trover was an amazingly good game.
Trover Saves the Universe was hysterical.
Got to air them out, man.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Persona 5 Royale and Persona 4 Golden and Persona 3 Portable are coming to the Xbox and PC and the PS5, apparently. So There you go.
Persona 4 Golden is already on Steam, to be clear. It is just getting ported to PS5, but the other two are new releases for PC, so that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Persona 5 Royale is one of my all-time favorites, so I'm definitely looking forward to this.
Nice. Yeah, just more stuff coming to the PC, which is pretty excellent. Well, Mojang is coming out with another game. They're coming out with an action strategy game of Minecraft called Minecraft Legends, announced for the PC and consoles. I am kind of intrigued by this one. I feel like this is probably the game I was wanting the dungeons to be. It's kind of hard to explain this one, but basically it's kind of like you're gathering all of the different parts of like the Minecraft world to tackle on the Nether more or less. So there's a features list here saying like discover the mysteries, learn the story of Minecraft Legends, and explore its new yet familiar world while experiencing the Minecraft universe in a new and exciting way in this new action strategy game.
I would be super into like Minecraft the town builder would be great. So I'm hoping that that's going to be what it's like.
I'm not so sure that's what, because it's an action strategy game, so I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, but like make it into a city management action strategy game. I don't know. It just seemed like it's an isometric RTS-y looking kind of thing that, sure. Just don't disappoint the shit out of me like Minecraft Dungeons, where you can't build anything, but it's a Minecraft game. You literally cannot dig a single block.
Well, I mean, for what it's worth, though, Dungeons did get better, and I do appreciate, like, the dungeon crawleriness of it that they've done.
Yeah.
But I hear you. But I definitely hear you.
Well, I just feel like they didn't capitalize on what's
mining right and crafting
in their face, you know? Yeah.
Right.
So it would be great if it was actually, like, you know, like cities. Make it SimCity Minecraft with an RTS in it and the ability to like build your buildings from blocks. Dang.
Wait, what? From blocks? What?
Yeah.
The funny thing is there's actually a precedent for that. The Dragon Quest Builders games are very much that. And it sure seems like, you know, that should be a Minecraft.
Oh, I thought Dragon Quest Builders was just a tutorial because it never got out of the tutorial.
The second one was a little better in that regard, but it definitely has a lot of layered systems and they just keep giving you more tutorials.
Yeah, and it seems a lot of it's limited in that it's just story driven quest where it's like build this specific thing here where there's a blueprint that must be built this specific way, and it's like oh god please stop. Just tell me what the objective is. Let me build shit and I'll find out.
As I say, the second one is a little better in those regards. Yeah. But it,
I watched my wife play the first one and I was like, oh God, no. So second one, like I embarked on it 'cause she got it for the PS4 and I played like the first hour. And then I was like, oh shit, it's this again, and ejected. So,
yeah, the second one, you go through different islands, and as you advance, they sort of hold your hand less and less. But it is still more tutorial heavy than you might like.
Yeah, I might look at it again if it actually like lets go of me within the first 2 hours.
I do think, you know, an open world sort of version of that though would be a great Minecraft game. To your point,
absolutely.
It sure seems doable. Like, it seems like something that should be out there.
Yeah, it's like, here's the systems. You know how it works. You've played Minecraft. And because Minecraft already kind of has, like, a low-key village management thing in there. Mm-hmm. Because they built that in, right? Where you do the stuff with the villagers, and more villagers will move in. And, you know, so if you build it, they will show up. So that would be great. And in the trailer, they showed the villagers a lot, so I was like, ooh, maybe. But anyway, you know, wish in one hand and mine with the other.
All right, well, what else we got here? We got some more gaming news.
Well, we have more releases. Let's see here. The Persona-like school life strategy RPG Demon School has been announced for PC and console. So this is, you know, you're a high school student and you stumble on some mysterious other world and you get to fight and kill things in it. So it is a 2023 release, but it is coming to all the consoles and PC. So I love these kind of games, so it's definitely up my alley. We'll see.
Why is it always Japanese high school kids that get the giant robots or the interdimensional travel and save the world? What? How about a nice, like, old people save the world game?
Well, that's Cocoon that was too. That was the joke in Harry Potter, right? Like when the professor was like, "Why is it always you three?" Like,
Yeah. I would like a superheroes come out of retirement to save the world. It would be like Geriatric Justice League.
Wasn't the Incredibles?
Right? I was going to say, wasn't that the Incredibles a little bit? Yeah.
Not they weren't geriatric certainly, but you know, coming out of retirement.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were definitely older and had kids and like couldn't quite fit back into their suit. And I always loved Frozo. He was like, "Woman, where's my super suit? Yeah, where's my super suit?
What do you need your super suit for? You can't be a superhero." Yeah, that was very funny. Powers, which was a fantastic comic book, but it was a Sony-made series that was only on PlayStation, of all things. They were trying to like make PlayStation a streaming service for a hot minute there. And they made this show, Powers, and it was a similar thing where power, like superpowers or superheroes, are outlawed. So they're not supposed to use their powers at all. And they have some folks come out of hiding to save the world type of thing. So there's definitely some precedent, I guess. Let's see what else we got. We got a new turn-based tactical shooter called Tactical Breach Wizards. This just looks so silly. Like what a goofy concept, but that I just love it. Like I love the idea of this super serious tactical gameplay with wizards. The screenshot that they have, or the little like logo on Steam, has this guy with a wizard hat and a big white beard wearing the like super, you know, operator shades, and he's got a big old rifle with a crystal sticking out of it. Like it just looks like such a weird mashup, but a lot of fun. So
yeah, that's awesome. For this one. Hey, I'm wishlisting this right now. All right.
Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 2, and Resident Evil 3 all got updates to take advantage of some of the features on the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series consoles. At the same time, Capcom updated the Steam versions. And when they did that, they raised the system requirements because you needed a more powerful computer to run these new versions of the games, which really pissed off a lot of people. Capcom ended up kind of rolling it back to where you can install the old versions of the games as well as the new enhanced versions. So, you know, I don't quite understand why they didn't just do that all along, but at least now people have the choice on PC of which version they want to play. But this added ray tracing, it added higher frame rates, and improved textures and things. So definitely a nice visual upgrade if you have the horsepower for it.
I don't know, man. Like the Resident Evil games, they just like they don't really do much for me. And I know a lot of people have nostalgia of it from like the original PlayStation days and stuff like that. And that's great. It's just I don't know. Resident Evil as like an IP and universe just has not been up my alley at all. But
Fair enough.
Maybe that's blasphemy, but
I'm whatever. A big baby about horror stuff, so I just tend not to play them. I played through the original back when, but yeah, I'm not a big devotee of the franchise. For those who are, though, Resident Evil Village, the latest game in the series, is getting new DLC coming in October called the Winter's Expansion. And they'll be relaunching the game with a gold edition that kind of bundles everything together. So it might be a good time to give it a try. I know that Village is not VR enabled on PC, but it is on PlayStation. But there is a pretty good community mod that adds VR support to Resident Evil Village as well. So if that's your jam, take a look for that. All right, so there is an old cult classic game called Lollipop Chainsaw, which is basically like a cheerleader type female character wielding a chainsaw and chopping up bad guys. They are apparently Kadokawa Games is looking to revive the franchise. We just got a hint that they're working on it, but no specifics.
Yeah, that's a good candidate for the Resident Evil 2 remake engine. I'm not even smiling when I say that. I'm not kidding.
No, well, I would love to see it you know, get its due. It was a fun game when it came out, so.
Yeah, it's like fun dumb, right? It's kind of like what's the some game with dead in the name takes place in the mall.
Dead Rising?
Dead Rising, yeah. Yep. It's kind of dumb fun like the Dead Rising games.
Except yeah, I would agree with
a little bit more cheeky.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Were either of you big Dragon's Dogma fans? I know there's quite
yes, a Dragon's Dogma
following.
2.
Yep.
It's happening. Thank you. Also, should be in the Resident Evil 2 engine.
I'm just shocked how long people have continued to play Dragon's Dogma. Like, that really speaks to the original doing something right. So hopefully the sequel can kind of live up to that.
Yeah,
legacy.
It's like that game is ridiculously good. It's just you have to penetrate the oddity part, and then it's amazing. But for people that like their quirky Japanese things, it's definitely a quirky Japanese thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like one of the first games, I think, that let you actually like climb on the monsters and hack shit off of them. It was pretty great for that.
Mm.
It was like the tutorial alone, you like climb up on a chimera's back and you're like stabbing it in the neck. And yeah, it's a good time. Giants, you can climb up a cyclops and stab it in the eye. that really upsets them when you do that.
Well, they've only got the one, so it makes sense. That would be a problem. Warhammer Vermintide 2 has a new update, Baelakor, which adds a new the infamous first prince from Warhammer lore, and there's a part of the Chaos Wastes mode, which is a part of the game where you have to stop the spread of corruption, where this guy shows up and can mess with you. So
I think we should give Vermintide 2 another go as a group one time.
I believe so as well.
Well,
you can finish it. It's 14 days to stop the spread of corruption.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The
it has been 20 years.
The interesting thing for me is with Darktide coming out, the Warhammer 40K version of Vermintide, I know I'm going to want to play that. So I'm trying.
Yeah, I definitely want to do that.
I refuse to get horny for it because it's like, is it not the same guys that made the Space Hulk not Vermintide thing that was kind of a cluster?
Maybe, but it's the same guys who did Vermintide, so at least.
Well, speaking of like the knockoff version, if you haven't played Space Beast Terror Fright, you need to do yourself a favor.
Yes. Yeah, that game also needs to get remade in the Resident Evil 2 engine.
That's funny. Well, I don't know much about this next one, I don't think. I haven't seen this game.
This was from Paradox, and it is based on their game Surviving Mars. They basically did a spin-off that was kind of came out at the same time called Surviving the Aftermath, where it's a post-apocalyptic town management game. And it's actually not bad. I mean, I feel like the difficulty got up there pretty quick in it when I played, but they haven't, unlike most Paradox games, they haven't flooded it with DLC, and so this is actually the first real DLC that the game's had, so it'll hopefully be
See, this is just
haven't had a chance to play it.
This is just another example of like games I've not heard about, but I'm fascinated by. Maybe like I just need to be in Steam more often because this is just one that I haven't heard about, but I'm instantly intrigued by it just by going to the Steam store and looking at it.
Yeah, it was a fun game to play, no doubt. It just like I played it very early when it was still in beta, and so I think the difficulty was, you know, something they were still working on, but I haven't just gotten around to visiting it again.
What game is this?
Surviving the Aftermath.
Okay. Oh, is that the like post earthquake?
Yeah.
Like Tokyo thing.
It's not in Tokyo. It's just, you know, it's non-specific U.S. basically.
Okay, because there was a Japanese game that was like, you're in a city like post giant earthquake thing. I can't remember what it's called now, but unfortunately, that game was kind of like and I'm not joking, it was kind of Resident Evil, right? So it was very like tank controls and yeah.
Oh, well, this is like
collect green herbs.
Gotcha. Right? Well,
inventory Tetris.
Surviving the Aftermath is like top-down perspective. You have a bunch of residents of the town. You have raiders that come and attack your settlement. You have to expand. You have to deal with waste management, how you're going to grow food, all that kind of stuff. So it's a town manager type game. Along those same lines, Jurassic World Evolution 2 has new DLC, the Dominion Biosyn expansion, and it's basically allowing more high-tech options for your Jurassic Park world that you're managing. There's invisible fences, you can build a hyperloop transportation system, and you can build a high-tech biosyn genetics research compound. So it's just adding some new variety to the game there. Table, were you excited about this next story? Last of Us Part 1 coming to PC?
Yeah, I was actually really... I mean, I know we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but like I really do like the fact that we're starting to see more and more things coming to the PC, kind of keeping that ecosystem alive. And I'm telling you, I feel like the Steam Deck... I don't think that we're going to get more mobile PC gaming as like the future. I just think that the mobile PC gaming is going to increase the PC gaming market as a whole. And this is just more evidence of that. Plus, it's harder to get your hands on some of these consoles, like the Xbox Series X and the PS5 don't exactly have a lot of exclusives to their names at the moment. There's a couple, but there's not a lot yet. And it's probably going to be a little while before we start seeing some more serious exclusive just for those consoles.
Well, and to be fair, it's not easy to get high-end PC hardware either, although that's improving somewhat. So, you know, there's certainly a handful. Jim just found the game that he was thinking of, which was Disaster Report 4 Summer Memories, is the Resident Evil style post Japanese earthquake game.
Yes, now available on the Swatch.
So,
can you imagine if Nintendo made a video game watch, but they called it the Nintendo Swatch, and you had to like wear at least three of them on each wrist? They would sell so many of those.
Flashbacks now.
Yeah.
So while we're on the subject of expansions, MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries got a new add-on called Call to Arms.
Oh, hell yeah. It's okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, which is like 10 times better than the other expansions for that game. So it's yeah.
It's well, it okay. gives you 9 new melee weapons, 23 new mech variants, which are tend to be melee focused. 5 of those are hero mechs, and you get a 5 mission quest chain where you steal the Lyrian Commonwealth's Hatchman prototype. So
yeah, the Hatchetman thing, I haven't got to that mission yet. Hatchetmen are kind of scary, right? Because they're like 45 or 50 tons, maybe 55, but they pack an AC-10 and a big hatchet, right? And it's a thing. But I got, unfortunately, I feel there's too many mechs in the game that can carry melee weapons now. And, it's some tons to carry, but I have a hunchback that's carrying a giant, like, caveman mace around. It looks like a frickin' horse leg with spikes on it. And if I get close to you with that thing, it will, no joke, like, pound your mech's head out its ass with, it hits really hard. Yeah, it's like, you get that, like, light mech that's like, I'm gonna jump over you, and then the thing's just like, bonk, and he's dead.
Well, that's great. Couple of things that I thought were exciting, they got 3 new biomes in this DLC, and then they also updated the base game.
Yes, and the update to the base game is actually the best part of the whole thing, because they finally got the base game into a decent state, and it tells you now, whenever you run into mechs or missions, it puts the icon of the DLC that it's from, so you can tell, like, oh, hey, it's actually using that DLC I paid for.
Well, yeah. A couple of things that I was seeing that they added was flexible tonnage limits for missions, which seems...
That like I haven't seen yet.
Okay. That one
maybe that's an option somewhere. I would love to find. Now I gotta go look, because there's so many times, man, where it's like, okay, go do this mission. It's balls hard, but you have to do it with like 200 tons. And then I go to load up my best mechs, and it's like, oh, well, I got like 205 tons. Crap. Now I can only take 3 guys. I'm gonna be wicked undertoned. So if I could take like a money payout hit to just take a couple extra tons, we're good. So hopefully.
Well, a couple of the other features that the base game got, an upgraded star map, enhanced contact screens, and the ability to swap to a lancemate's mech when you die. So you can actually keep going in the mission. You don't just have to restart immediately, which is kind of...
Yeah, just don't die. You'll never see it.
Fair enough.
Be good like me.
Get good, scrub. Got it.
But so, yeah, I am satisfied, though, with this. Like, I had, whenever they were like, oh, we're doing another DLC, and we're just going to add, because in the previous one, they added melee combat, where you could just, like, hit a key to punch, and I was like, yeah, okay. And the campaign mission stuff, they're actually putting story mission things in. Okay. Right, but the campaign missions are a little more interesting this time, and the melee weapons are actually useful as opposed to just punching, which was kind of dumb. So when they were like, yeah, we're going to do one more DLC, I was like, whatever, I'll skip it. But then I went ahead and got it, and it's like, nah, this is actually pretty decent. So they just need to get away from the whole, like, we're going to spawn enemies 4 at a time in waves, until you leave the planet, we'll just keep sending 4 guys at a time. It's just like, just have it static.
Yeah.
But anyway. So what's next?
Well, the Aliens franchise has a new game coming out called Dark Descent, and just take a wild guess what genre this is. If you,
it's an RTS, but it's going to be heavily story-like, and it's going to be kind of like the new Starship Troopers game that is also full of alien bugs.
Yep, that is it. Not sure how I feel about this.
Oh, wow. I just totally guessed that. I didn't know shit about this. Really? So that they're giving us Starship Troopers aliens. Okay.
Well, it is an RTS, and it is, you know, pushing a story. They're certainly talking about the story, but yeah.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I don't know how it could be RTS. Well, RTS, but not in the Command and Conquer way. RTS in the, like top-down, real-time XCOM tactics kind of way, maybe. But I can't see, like, dude, if they let me make a building that just, like, shits out Marines and APCs, then...
Yeah, I can't picture that either, but maybe it's more like Company Heroes,
like,
right?
I queue up some Marines, and they, like, when they jump out of the little building, they're like, game over, man!
I would love to see a debank of, you know, Aliens that was that, like in the old Command and Conquer engine, but
yeah,
just that would be hilarious. But no, this
affirmative.
This looks interesting. I mean, I'm trying to reserve judgment, but it is going to be on consoles as well, which is a little bit unusual for RTSs. So that may suggest more simplified.
Wow, that suggests like Halo Wars.
Yeah, which Halo Wars was so the second one was fun. I mean, it wasn't all that, but it was entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it was a game. Do you remember they actually did make a console-based Aliens RTS game before?
Really?
They super did. It was like Alien versus Predator RTS, yeah.
I don't remember that one. Interesting. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. It's Aliens versus Predator Extinction for the Xbox.
Wow, I do not remember that game. Interesting. I'll have to give it a shot. There is a game known as Metal Max Xeno, which was on the PlayStation 4 and Vita, and it was recently re-released as Metal Max Xeno Reborn. But unfortunately, they butchered the game quite a bit. They removed a bunch of content, a bunch of side stories, and generally kind of just streamlined the game substantially. It is interesting because it is a JRPG, but a big focus is finding and upgrading vehicles like tanks, not just your party of characters. And when you're out in the world, you drive around in your tanks and fight enemies in your tanks, but you can also jump out and go underground and explore and things like that. So it's kind of a neat mix.
Yeah, it's good, dumb fun. Like, it's just, it's dumb and it knows it. And yeah.
Well,
you may guess that I own it already.
Yes, I was playing it last night, in fact, Xeno Reborn. They were working on a sequel, though, called Metal Max Wild West, but unfortunately it was announced that they canceled it, just as, you know, Metal Max Xeno Reborn was released, unfortunately, so
yeah,
kind of a bummer.
Yeah, was it originally like a Switch game or something, and then it finally got a PC port?
Vita and PS4.
Oh, even weirder. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it whenever something's like, this is a Vita game, and then it, like, 10 years later comes out to PC, and it's like, huh.
Yeah, it's an odd delay. The complexity of the world geometry reminded me more of a PS2 era game, but I guess that may be the Vita.
Vita limitation.
Yeah, exactly. But it was on PS4 as well, so but I had never heard of it until I saw Reborn come out. So let's see. We are now getting an expansion called the Conservation Pack for Planet Zoo, which adds an Amur leopard, a scimitar-horned oryx, a Siamang, and an axolotl, and a Przewalski's horse. I'm butchering all of those names. I apologize. But this is an interesting mix of kind of rare and unusual animals.
Yeah, the campaign voiceover is Greta Thunberg.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
like preaching about ecosystem, whatever. Yeah,
destruction. Yeah. Well, yes. It fits for Planet Zoo, right? I mean, I think this is a reasonable place to have something like this. But I have not.
I think it's a missed opportunity to not get her into the gaming industry.
Be interesting, that's for sure. Have either of you played the new card-based first-person shooter Neon White?
First-person shooter.
Yep.
Yes. It's just like it sounds. I heard from Australian person, skill up, that it was amazing and not to be missed. So I haven't bought it.
I have bought it. I haven't played it yet, but I am fascinated by just the Steam video, which opens with, why do you have assassins in heaven? And that's like
all assassins go to heaven,
I guess. But that's the hook, right? You're an assassin in heaven taking out, the bad guys, I guess. So definitely looks interesting. The card mechanic,
good assassins, right? Like there's Ezio.
Yeah.
Good. In before some Diablo, like...
But the cards basically are allowing you to have different abilities or different weapons, and so that's how you kind of switch between them, and you can customize which things you're carrying with you. So that's the hook, I guess.
Definitely seems fast paced, that's for sure.
So, Table for Two, Goat Simulator 3 was announced.
Are you
excited about this one?
Call of Goat was actually a really good callback to the Unreal Tournament days. I freaking loved that thing. Do you guys remember when we played Call of Goat?
Oh, yeah. Was that by the Goat Simulator guys, or it's just another goat thing?
I'm pretty sure it was. I mean, we can try and verify it, but
let's just pretend.
But Goat Simulator 3 is interesting because I don't remember them releasing a Goat Simulator 2.
They did. So. There wasn't. That's the joke. Yeah.
Is it? Got it. Okay.
Yes. They're just. I mean, that's just their humor for sure.
It's like Fallout 76. What happened to 75?
So one thing to note with this is it is an Epic Store exclusive on PC.
Boo.
But it will be coming to consoles, and there is a pre-udder gear for pre-orders. Get it? Pre-udder? Pre-order? Yeah.
Boy, they're milking it for all it's worth.
Exactly. I feel like we talked a ton last time about all of the Top Gun tie-ins that we were getting. Both in DCS World, Microsoft Flight Simulator, and Ace Combat.
Yep.
And War Thunder felt left out, apparently, because they have a Danger Zone update that is now live that adds the F-14 Tomcat and Napalm to the game.
Oh, good.
Because, playing Ground Forces in War Thunder wasn't hard enough. Now you're going to get Napalm.
Okay. So I just did a search just for the record that Good of Duty was not done by these guys, which seems like a fail, but whatever.
Seems like copyright infringement to some extent, but okay,
Well, so the publisher was Riser Games, and the developer was 34 Big Things, whatever that is.
I've never heard of them.
Well, apparently they've helped develop Redout and Redout 2. So.
Oh, Redout 2 also came out this week.
Yep. That is true. We're getting a new throwback RPG that was heavily inspired by Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VI called Atelierium Shift for both PC and consoles. if that sounds like something you'd be excited about, they you know, this is the game for you.
There's also
sounds like the title of the Star Trek episode.
There is
Shift.
Yeah, there. That's true. It does sound like that. There's also a demo available on Steam that you can go and download and play right now.
There you go. Yeah. Raw Fury is publishing a new open world deck building life sim called Moonstone Island, because we don't have enough open world games. We don't have enough deck building games. We don't have enough life simulator games. So clearly, you know, combining them all together actually does sound kind of interesting. I'm giving it a hard time, but the visuals look really good. Nice, like real cartoony style to them. And you can travel by balloon. You can befriend spirits, wild spirits who will fight alongside you, craft items, explore dungeons, etc. So kind of hits all the RPG checklist items, I guess.
This next one, yeah, these next two, I guess, are kind of an interesting combination. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth announced. It's all kind of part. Okay, I don't understand, and maybe this is just where I need some help getting this. But like, there's been so much with these Japanese games, like Resident Evil and Final Fantasy, where they keep making these old games again, or like variations of. So like, I don't understand how many different Final Fantasy VIIs that we've had, or fours that we've had, or like. What was it? Final Fantasy, like, you know, they had 10 and then 10-2. You know, they've got all of these, like, same kind of things. Melified, I get that we're getting the remake on PC at some point in the future that they brought out on the PlayStation. Right?
Is right.
That, yeah.
Well, so Final Fantasy VII Remake came out on PlayStation 4. And then they did Intergrade, which was an like they reworked some stuff. They added some content and that came out for PS5. And now Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade came out for the Epic Store last year. And now we're getting it on Steam. So that's the big PC news. But then also the second game in the Final Fantasy VII Remake Trilogy is called Rebirth. It was announced and will be coming out next year for PlayStation 5 only. It will not be a PC simultaneous release. They haven't announced a PC version, although, you know, sort of assumed it'll come to PC eventually. And they're not doing a PS4 version, which is a little bit of a surprise.
My head hurts, man.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah,
Japan just needs to calm the heck down.
Yeah,
you know, they're still doing a third one too. So they confirmed that it is a trilogy and that they are, you know, going to do more. So we'll be hearing about it for quite a while. And they're still doing Final Fantasy 16 as well.
Yeah, which I heard is going to be a PlayStation exclusive. Like, what the heck? Well, probably a timed exclusive, granted. But remember, like, the tale of Final Fantasy was that it was, like, on Nintendo for so long. And then after 6, it went to Sony. And then it became, like, a Sony thing for, like, forever, it felt like. And then eventually they just started releasing them on Xbox and PC. And it just felt like anytime there's a new Final Fantasy, it was just, like, multi-platform release. I feel like them going exclusive to PlayStation again for this new one seems kind of like a little bit of a throwback. I don't know.
I think it's a timed thing. Is, you know, they're getting probably a ton of marketing money from Sony to promote the game. And they know that's just going to build hype when they do bring it to PC and Xbox down the road.
All right.
Well, the best Final Fantasy game that has ever been made isn't even, like, a mainstream Final Fantasy game, but it's Stranger of Paradise. I highly encourage anybody to play that. It's sort of an action. No. It's kind of a Souls-like-y game, sort of, but not as hard. but it's got the best character in all of Final Fantasy, Jack. Because, okay, like, people are trying to explain a quest to him. It's like, yes, we need you to go to the whatever and retrieve the... And he's like, I don't care. Just tell me what you... You know, just tell me where I'm going. And he's like talking... There's a boss, right? And the boss starts monologuing. And it's like, yes, you will be doomed forever, for I am. And he's like, I don't give a F who you are. And he jumps through the air and just like cold cocks the boss right in the mouth. Nice. And I'm like, this is the best guy ever. Because he is literally the guy that hits the skip button on the cutscene. Mm-hmm. He gets like 5 seconds into the cutscene and he's like, yeah, that's bullshit. And in fact, he even there is one of the characters starts monologuing about how it's like, well, chaos, my theory is that it's whatever and it's just an illusion and people just created this concept to it. And he's like, and he looks her right in the eye and he pauses a second and he goes, bullshit. And he turns around and like kicks on some death metal on his iPod and just like drowns her out and walks away while she's still talking. I love that game.
All right. Well, a game I don't think you loved quite as much just came out called Starship Troopers Terran Command.
Yeah, get it on sale. It's like I play a little further into it and it started to open up a bit and it was like, oh, okay, it actually does want me to figure things out. You know, like the third map was like, okay, well, you understand now that you can call dudes in, it costs requisition points, there's supply drops that are around the map that add requisition points. So if you need more supplies, you have to go get those. And then you have to like clear the mines out, but then leave some forces behind to defend the mines. But you don't have enough that you could really do that. Otherwise you would just buy like auto turrets and put them out in front of each one. So it requires a little bit of running around and thinking. Right. And I'm like, okay, well this is far, far better than the first two missions. So maybe I'm back on board. I don't know. But I would say unless you're into those kind of like cookbook style, like do this, do this, do this, you win kind of format of a campaign. And it's only like how many missions long and then it's over. And there's no skirmish. There's no multiplayer. So it's kind of like it is what it is. You'll probably get like 10 hours out of it. $30.
$40 release.
$30 is a hard ask. Like 15, yes. 30, I'd wait for the sale, which starts June 23rd, probably about the time you're hearing this. It's already over because today's the 18th, and we're not going to have this episode out by then. So, I hope you got it on the Steam sale. Yeah.
Well, no, this episode should be out as of recording this tomorrow evening, so on the 19th. So.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, yeah. All right. So if it gets down to $20 or less, it's worth looking at.
Right on. Well, this is we've got a lot of news to cover still, but we are going to, and that's good to end it on that one, because we're actually going to split this up and cover more, even more, probably in the next episode. So tune in next week for more. We've got a lot. We're probably just going to keep rolling through in the recording here. So we'll see you guys on the next one. This one's been episode number 65.
Yeehaw.